Matthew 14, read verse 19, and this is what I'd ask of you today as we begin. Don't look at this verse like you've heard it before and you've seen it. And this has become my favorite miracle in the Bible, and I pray that I can convey to you what God has shared with me. But this one miracle has changed my view of God in a way that I never saw him before. You know, the more you discover about God, you discover there's more to discover. It never gets old. The older I get, I see him in a new way. But I saw this verses and God laid this on my heart, and I pray if you're lost here that you realize without God you are missing out on something. If you are saved, hold on. Listen to me. This is what it says, verse 19. If you have your Bibles in you there, Matthew 14, one verse. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. I'm sorry, verse 14. I want to read through verse 19. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." They say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Don't have much, do they? He said, "Bring them hither to me." Here's where I want to take my text from. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. God will be my helper this morning. I pray that I can preach to you this. He sure does a lot with a little. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come near this day. Lord, I thank you, God, for another opportunity to stand, Lord, behind the pulpit and preach your holy word. God, you know those that have come in feeling defeated. God, I pray they find victory today. God, you know the ones here that are lost. God, I thank the Lord for the one who come, God, and gave their heart to you. God, as we embark this week, Lord, to do your work and your will, that these young people will see that no matter what the world says, if they stick with you, Lord, everything that you do is worth hanging around for. God, I pray that you be with me. Anoint my lips. Hide me behind the cross. We ask these things in the precious name, the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. He does a lot with a little. As I looked at this text and I read it, the first thing that caught my eye in studying this was kind of what brought me to this text. I was looking at all the miracles of the Lord, 34 in number, and when I got to this one, I thought this was unique because of the time and place that this miracle took place. If you go back and look at verse 10 of this same chapter, you will see that John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, has been beheaded. And although this is a trying time for Jesus Christ, he still has the power to do a miracle. Put his problems aside, you hear me today? No matter what's going on in your life, he could still perform the duties that he knew his Father wanted him to fulfill. So no matter what problem you have, you can look at this verse right here and say, hey, if John the Baptist can be beheaded and Jesus can go on, if I am in him and he is in me, then that gives me the strength and the power to go on as well. So this kind of struck me here. This is what impressed me so much. Despite his personal misery that was going on, he puts his pain aside and still performs a miracle. See, a lot of times we need to understand and thank God, because even though we don't feel like it sometimes, God can still use us even when we're at our weakest. See, I like this morning, because if you're like me, and I don't know, maybe I'm just speaking to me this morning. Some of the greatest times I have had with the Lord is when God has taken something that I am going through and used it, what I call a launching pad, for my personal growth as a Christian. It's when the problems came that it forced me to either draw nigh to God or sit there and let Him pound me on the head till I got it in my head that I needed to go to Him. So if you're here this morning, understand, God has driven you here one way or another because He knows there's a better you inside of you. He knows there's something better in there. And listen, God's going to get it all out of you if you're one of His. And here in this message, here in these things, a lot of times we think we're picked out to be picked on or whatever you want to call it, trial after trial and storm after storm. But how many knows and how many can agree and testify to the fact that when you go through a problem, God brings you through on the other side? Doesn't mean He solves your problem, but He brings you through the problem. So understand what I'm saying here. He changes this meal. And I suggest to you this morning that what the Lord will do to get more out of this meal is the same thing He will do to you and I. Understand where I'm getting at. This tells me something. There is more inside of me. Listen, if you're lost, there's a Christian if you'll just come to the altar and accept Christ. If there's a worshiper there today, some of you, you would sit there with that. I mean, my dad used to do that, Cal. He'd look like a red tomato. I'm like, goodness, heavens, help him, Lord. Just start crying or shouting one. There's a better worshiper in you than worships right here today, right now. There's a better Bible studier. There's a better prayer inside of you. And what God will do is take you through things to get the good stuff out of you. And a lot of times we don't even know it's there. This reminded me of when I was a boy. Anybody ever remember hearing the ice cream truck? Buddy, you'd hear that jingle. You'd drop every toy you had, and you'd run inside your house, and you'd scrape up every bit of change you could to get that all-American push pop. Amen? Hallelujah. But I remember I was at my friend's house. He lived about a quarter mile from my house. And I heard that ice cream truck coming. And he started at my friend Alex's end. And I ran all the way home and Alex followed me because Alex was rich. He had money. It was sickening. Amen? And I ran home as fast as I could. He followed me. I ran inside. I had one of those piggy banks. Not one of them ceramic nice ones. I'm talking about old school. One way in and one way out. Amen? Didn't have no belly at the bottom when you just pull it out. So Cal, I went in there and I shook that thing and I shook that thing and I flipped it upside down and I'd hear them quarters and all them dollar bills and I kept shaking and shaking and shaking till I got out of it what I needed to get. And Alex told me this. He said, "How do you know there's more in there?" I said, "Because I'm the one that put it in there and I know how much is in there and I'm not going to stop shaking until I get it all out." Hallelujah. That's what God will do to you, bless God. He'll take you up in the middle of the night. He won't let you sleep. He'll wear you out in church and He'll shake you until He gets all of it out of you that He needs to. Bless God forever. He'll shake you. And that's shouting ground today. Because everybody's getting too comfortable in church. How about that? He'll shake us. He'll break us down to build us up. Understand what I'm saying. He knows what's inside of you. And He's not, "Oh, I love God because He doesn't quit on me." He doesn't quit on me until He gets all out of me that He knows is in there. And I thank God for it this morning. So understand when He shakes us. He doesn't stop bothering us. He won't stop dealing with us until He gets out of you and I what He put in there. Understand where I'm going this morning. I discovered something here. The Lord does several things to do a lot with a little. And if we take the analogy that we could put our place or ourselves in the place of this bread, the first thing you will see is number one, Jesus blessed the bread. You've been blessed? I've been blessed this morning. He blessed the bread. That's what it says in the Bible, does it not? He blessed the bread. Bible says that Jesus, He looks up to heaven. Think of that now. And He blesses the bread. Verse 19 starts with Him commanding the people to sit down.
And when they sit down, he took what he had and he looked up to heaven. And the first thing he does is he blessed the bread. There's an emphasis that needs to be added here, because Jesus blesses that bread that he is about to use. Now understand where I'm going here. He looks up to heaven and he blesses the bread. Now, according to Matthew, we don't know what type of bread it is, but if you look over in John chapter 6, verse 9, John's account says that it is barley bread. And the emphasis that needs to be put there is this. This bread is the key to the whole miracle, because barley bread was the cheapest grain you could buy. It was poor quality. It was almost worthless. I'm going to let that simmer there for a second. How about that? Poor grains made up barley bread. I'm preaching right now. Help me now. And when that poor grain is there, when you study it out, it said poor people made stews out of this bread. It wasn't even fit to eat. If you go back to the book of Kings, you'll see that Solomon fed his 40,000 horses, guess what, church? Barley bread. So this is poor bread. This is 2-for-99 bread at Walmart, amen? Now I'm preaching to you, yeah. This is poor, low budget is what I'd call it, bread. Poor people ate it. Rich people wouldn't touch it. This is the kind of bread that, and I'm going somewhere, stay with me. It was cheap and somewhat, for the most part, worthless. And here is Jesus Christ, the one who left heaven for you and I. And he takes something that is cheap and of poor quality, and in Matthew's account, in Matthew's gospel, it says Jesus looks up to heaven and he blesses this poor bread. Hallelujah! Understand what I'm saying. This is shouting ground whether you know it or not today. See, there are times in my life that I could honestly say, Brian, I was poor quality. There are times even this morning where I knelt down before a holy God cow and said, Lord, why me? Poor quality. But that same God loves you and I so much that He will lift us up before heaven and He'll bless it anyway. Hallelujah. I'm grateful that we serve a God that blesses bad bread. Hallelujah. Doesn't just bless us. Well, He provides for us. I love it because He takes this low-budget bread that fails Him often and that falls often and that doesn't deserve the goodness of Almighty God, but He gives it anyway. So He takes something that's almost worthless and He blesses it. That word blessed means eulogio. If you look at that word blessed in our English word, that's where we get the word eulogy from. You know what a eulogy is, isn't you? Don't you? It's when you give high praise or high commendation to something. So Jesus here takes bad bread, lifts it up to heaven, and eulogizes over it. He says something good to heaven about something bad. He blessed the bread. So let me tell you this. He does this and he's holding something cheap that a lot of people wouldn't have nothing to do with, that even animals sometimes may not eat, and he eulogizes over bad bread. That's why I'm glad to be saved this morning. Because I serve a God that will lift me up when nobody else will. I'm glad I serve a God this morning that will say something nice about me, Cal, when others won't. How about that? I serve a God this morning that no matter what, let me tell you this, if you're lost here today, God is crazy about you. God loves you this morning. God wants to change your life this morning. And you say, oh, I've done so much bad. Oh, I've done so much wrong. He's lifting you up and He's eulogizing to the Father. Wants to change your life. He blessed bad bread. Now here's what I like. Lord does the same thing for you and I. That's what He does. Gives me more than I deserve. He gives me what I call favor. A lot of people stretch that word, you know that? Favor is better than money. Can I say that? Favor is way better than money. Favor is way better than money. And here's how I can say that. I got a friend of mine, and I'm telling you, he was a drug addict. He was a drunk. I mean, when you talk to some of his friends that look at him and say, something has happened to that man. He doesn't do those things anymore. It got so bad in his life, he had a felony on his record. And it was, if that wasn't bad enough, he had gotten right with the Lord. He had gotten married. They got a little baby. He married my cousin. And this guy, I mean, I know this guy inside and out. I'm talking about bad bread. And he said, Sean, I need you to pray for me. He said, I'm trying to take college courses to get this job that I'm not qualified for. And I don't know if they'll let me because I got a felony on my record and because I'm not qualified for this job. But I'm taking courses. Let me tell you what God did for him. Before he finished his courses, he got the job. When he went in that day, the day before, listen to me now, this isn't made up. This is someone I personally know. The day before he went in for that interview, he had a felony. The day he went in for the interview, felony was gone. God blesses bad bread. And that's why I say to you this morning, I thank God that He can take nothing and bless it and make it into something. So when every one of His friends that are lost say, how did you do it? You know what He says? I turned to Jesus. So He blessed the bread. That's what He did. Number two, what did He do? He broke the bread. Now you underline it, you write it down, because this is very important. Here's why. Get this now. The same bread that Jesus just blessed is the same bread now He has to break. You get that? He didn't break you and then give you the blessing, although He can do that. He blessed you, then He broke you. Some people got that backwards today. You know that? So we understand right there, He blessed the bread, then He broke the bread. This bread of poor quality that Jesus just eulogized to heaven about, He now breaks that same bread. So He breaks what He just blessed. Now, if the Lord did this, meaning He blessed it, then He broke it, it means that when it goes into the breaking process, it's already been blessed. Don't miss this now. This explains why when you go in for surgery, you can have a smile on your face and a song in your heart, because you know the one that may be breaking you right now is the one that blessed you. Understand where I'm going here. We got a fella that he's had surgery after surgery. We walked in there and he just started crying, Cal. We walked up to him and he said, you know what he said? He didn't say, oh, why me? He didn't say, oh, poor me. You know what he said? He said, I'm a blessed man. And I mean glory come down, Roger. And glory come down as the Lord is my witness. We got thrown out of the hospital. Riverside Hospital. They said, you guys are being too loud. You know what he kept saying laying there? He said, I'm blessed and I'm blessed. So he'll break you a lot of times after he blesses you. You know why you can get bad news and still smile? You know why you can have a bad week or go through trials and still have no fear? It's because you know deep down that he broke you, but he blessed you first. See, it's because when you went into those trials, you understand. Understand, if you're saved, you are a blessed person today. And you got to realize that no matter what you're going through. Look at it. That word break It's in the aorist tense. It's one of seven divisions of a conjugated verb in the Greek. And it literally means this. Jesus didn't break this bread at any old time. He broke this bread at a specific moment and time. When the brother stood up and said, I got all these problems going on at my house, I about wanted to jump out of my seat. When the sister got up and said, I got stuff broke and I don't care. You know why they don't care? Because they know they're blessed. So since we're just telling it all this morning, I wrote down a few things that I've been going through. You ready? Preachers hear from y'all. You need to hear from us sometimes. This happened within a month and a half. My wife's here. She'll vouch for it. My transmission started acting up in my car. My air conditioner at my house stopped working. My ice maker in my refrigerator stopped working. My TV went out. My washer started leaking. My dryer stopped drying. My truck that I love, by the way, my wife was driving it and burned it to the ground. And it was right before hunting season. Yeah. My son hurt his knee and had to have surgery. I got another truck to replace that truck. And I got a phone call last week that says the engine's blown. You got it that bad? I'm not wanting pity from you. I'm not wanting money from you. I want to tell you why. This is what God shared with me and it blessed me to death. I'm blessed. Here's how I know why. See, that stuff that broke could have broke months or a year ago. But God waited till a specific time, till I had the funds to take care of the problem. He saw it long before it happened, and He prepared me for it and blessed me for it, so when the breaking came, I could handle it, bless God. Hallelujah! I discovered this. God is incredibly fair. He's a just and righteous and fair God. Because He waits till a specific time. Remember when you got saved? How many remember when they got saved? It was a specific time that you didn't go to church looking to get saved. I didn't. I was playing with Crayola crowns and trucks. And Mom and Dad were singing. That preacher said something to me. And I mean, I stood up at attention and I walked down the aisle and gave my heart to the Lord. A specific time with a specific preacher in a specific place because He knew. That's God today. He'll bless you and then He'll break you. So let me ask this question as we move along. Who broke the bread? Jesus did. Now you're telling me out of 5,000 men, not including women and children, and 12 disciples, but out of all those people, Jesus breaks the bread. Here's what I say. If I'm going to be broken, I want Him to break me. I just felt God right there. You feel that? That ain't emotion. That's God just pouring it in here saying, listen, glorify me. If I'm going to get broken, I want Him to be the one breaking me. If I'm going to be broke, I want Him. Why do you want Him to break you? Because in order to break me, He's got to put His hands on me. And if His hands are on me, Brian, nobody else's hands can be on me. So I'm right where I need to be. I mean, He blesses me, and when He breaks me, He's got me right in the palm of His hands, eulogizing over me. So He breaks me. If I'm broken, I want to be broken by Him. See, understand where I'm going here. There was a lot of hands on that bread. I mean, if you look common sense wise, or most likely, the boy's mother was the first ones who had her hands on this bread. Then the boy touched the bread, and I call it, it's like a progression. The lady touched it, and then the lad touched it, and then the lad gave it to the leaders, and then the leaders gave it to the Lord. And when the lady had it, the bread was just enough for one. When the lad had it, it was just enough for one. When the disciples had it, it was just enough for one. But when you put it in the hands of Jesus, things change. I don't know what you've been dealing with. You need to put it in the hands of Jesus. And do like Brother Lloyd Locklear. Lord, you got a problem back there. Better deal with it. I can't handle this no more. That's been my philosophy of preaching. God adds to the church daily. His word won't return void. Lord, you got a problem. I'm doing what I'm doing. Handle it. And may I say, He does. So understand where I'm going here. He puts His hands on the bread. When He does that, he broadens some things in your life. He'll broaden your home life and He'll broaden your heart. See, you can't get out of being broken sometimes. But I promise you this. That's why He blesses you. So understand where I'm going here. Jesus blesses the bread. We see that. Jesus breaks this bread. And lastly, I want to share this with you and I'm done. Jesus bestowed the bread. Meaning this, He gave the bread out. Please don't miss this order here, this progression. Here's the reason why. When Jesus takes time to break the bread, it's because He knows someone needs to benefit from the broken pieces. A lot of times we ask God why. And I think He don't mind that. Well, we're just human. And when we go to Him, that's where He wants us to go to. I had a fellow say, you don't have any faith if you ask the Lord why. I said, well, He said it on the cross. What are you talking about? Understand what I'm saying here. Everybody here in this story is hungry. And the only way they're going to get fed is by the blessing and breaking of this bread. This is where I'm heading. The bread cannot stay the way it is because there's other people depending on it. I got an aunt that I love dearly. Some of you know her, my Aunt Patty. I mean sweet as sugar. Great woman. Her and Ronald, they traveled with my mom and dad for years. Went all over the country. I mean did everything they could for the Lord. Never complained one time. Never worried about a bill. Never worried about nothing. Here a couple years ago, she gets cancer. And you know what my first question was? Why her? Lord, after all she's done, why her? Why now at this specific time? Why at this place? Have you done this? Here's what the Lord shared with me, and I shared it with her personally. He wanted to wait till those grandkids were a little bit older so they could see what a true Christian looks like when they can still have joy when they're broken. The people you sit by in church, they're watching you. When you have a bad time, they're watching you. Do you know the lost watch the Christian? And the number one question they'll ask is this, how are you so happy at such a bad time? You know what I say? Because I'm poor, bad bread, and He blessed me anyway. Those little grandkids have seen my Aunt Patty go through treatment and still raise a hand to heaven and say, you've been a good God to me. You may be sitting by a person that's dependent on you. You might be sitting by a person that you may need to depend on. I tell them in our church, a lot of times our answer may be sitting right next to us and we won't even open our mouth and find out about it. So he blessed the bread. Then he broke the bread. And then he bestowed the bread. It's kind of like the alabaster box. If you don't break it, what's really inside can't come out. But if it can come out, boy, is that not a sweet fragrance to the nostrils of God. I want to end like this. If you're lost here today, Jesus was broken at Calvary for you. Broken hands, broken head, broken side with a spear in it. But although he was broken, I like this, he broke the seal on the tomb too. And what I've found is this. If you know the Lord, you can honestly say, boy, he sure can do a lot with a little. Hear this and I'm done. He must break you to benefit others. See, I've discovered my trials aren't just for me. My trials are for other people. The things that I study and discover and preach, they're not just for me. The things I endure, they're not just for me. So I don't try and make them personal. I don't try and bend somebody's ear with, oh, I've had such a bad time. But I like it when God shows up and I can brag on Him. Last year I got done with this church camp. And I'll be honest with you, I was tired. Friday night I walked past my wife and I said, this was a great experience, but I don't think I ever want to do this again. And that fellow right there walked up to me and said, mark her down next year. That's the truth. And listen, I'm. You know what he told me? This is what thought went through my mind when I studied this message. He said, don't bottle that up. What you have and what the Lord has given you, you share it with people. And Cal, I've tried to do that ever since. And I had a little place in Indiana. I thought it was a joke. I thought Chris Rumfelt was calling me trying to play a joke on me. There was a place in Indiana. They said, we want you to come out and do a revival at our church. I didn't know any of these people. And I was tired and I was wore out. My son, he was having problems with his leg. Just so much going on. And I said, Lord, I don't feel like I need to go out there. And like He always does, it ain't up to you. Because I remember when He called me to preach, I said, I'll go anywhere, anytime, any place. Boy, He has a way of bringing that back to us, doesn't He? Boy, that stings, doesn't it? Man, I went to that little church and I didn't know what to expect. And I mean, every night, it was like one of them old-fashioned revivals. Every night the crowd just got bigger and bigger. And the people in the parking lot, they was getting there earlier and earlier. The whole town was talking about it. And I mean, we had a time. And I'm telling you, as God is my witness, and no braggadocious thing on me, I was spent. And I didn't want to go for nothing. When it was over, I went back home. 2 months later, they called me back and said, we want you to come preach for our state association pulpit committee. I said, all right. I went back. That old preacher that I held that revival at, 82-year-old man, James Oliver McCowan, sweet man of God. You talk about a fellow that can run the aisles, he'll do it. And I got back there, and he got up there, and I didn't even know what was coming. Now, remember, I was wore out. I was broken. He said, this man don't even know what has happened at our church. He said, a revival broke out. That next week, 15 people got saved, and all of them baptized. He said, our church is on fire. And he said, I know what it took for this guy to get here. He said, and I want to show him what God is doing. He marched every one of those 15 people up there. And they sang, I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. Not enough time. So what do? We just thank Him. Listen to me. When you think you can't go anymore, remember you're blessed. Devil likes to put these things in our face. Likes to distract us with circumstances around us. You know what I do every time I get up in the morning now? I just look, I just think of this. Jesus Christ is holding up bad bread. And He's eulogizing over it. That's what He thinks of you and I. We're in the palm of His hand. Listen, if you're lost, you don't understand that feeling or that comfort or that peace or that joy or that hope. But Christian, how about you this morning? When's the last time you've honestly just realized we're poor quality and come to an altar and said, Lord, thank you for blessing me. God, thank you for breaking me at the specific time you have. Now, Lord, I'm praying that this brokenness, you'll direct me to who needs the feeding. And let me help them any way I can. Heads bowed and eyes are closed this morning.